The epistle appointed to be read for this, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. is taken from St. Matthew, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns, or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the points that are to be noted this morning, of course, are in the bulletin, and you can certainly read those for yourselves. However, I always wish to emphasize the importance and the necessity of reading our bulletins, not just simply reading through our bulletins, but studying our bulletins. At a time when our holy religion is not being promulgated in the proper and usual and good way as once it was, but now you get it little by little and from time to time, we try to put our religion as best we can in our bulletins. Therefore, it is imperative that you not just read the bulletins, but that you study the bulletin carefully by reading it over time and time again. Look for that in the bulletin, understand what I'm saying, look for that in the bulletin which is not actually printed in the bulletin. Read between the lines. Look for what is not being said. That is what you have to know. So please study your bulletins, especially during these days that we are putting things or placing things in the bulletin that are so important for our holy faith. In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, the title of today's bulletin instruction says this: "You know not of what spirit you are." And as we read the very last lines of today's gospel, these are terrifying lines, and lines that words rather from our blessed Lord's mouth itself that are giving us fair warning, which we, no matter who we are, me beginning, remember this, that when I speak to you, I am looking at me. It's almost an examination of conscience on my part when I speak to you. So do not think that I point fire and brimstone to you. You just happen to be in the way when I am speaking to myself. In the last words of today's gospel, our Lord said this. Please listen. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I know that you may become tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. But it has to be said over and over again until it can penetrate, I won't say your heads, but it can penetrate my head. Of all the people who are around and about us, this applies to me. As I come in and walk in the front door of this church, of this house, and as I open the door, and as I look about, around and about me, as I walk in here, and I look at the altar, and I see that which is on the altar, and I cry out, Lord, Lord. Does that make me worthy of the kingdom of God? Anybody at all, man, woman, or child, priest, pope, anybody, king, janitor, anybody, can part those two doors back there in the back of this room and say, Lord, Lord. In 2 weeks, my beloved people, we're going to come to my favorite gospel. Two men went up to the temple to pray. And you know how that strikes me every time it comes around, every year. Anybody can part those doors and say, Lord, Lord. Anybody can walk in here with a bag full of prayers and devotions. And only last Sunday, my beloved people, we referred to doing all of the things that would normally be looked upon as, if I do this, I will get that. Do I come into this church and simply say, Lord, Lord, simply because I am striking a bargain? And if I do so-and-so, then I expect so-and-so back in return. That is not the case. I walk through life every day. I walk through life. From the moment I get up to the moment I go back to bed at night, I walk through the day. And I run into every imaginable kind of circumstance during the course of that day. It's the list is unending as to the circumstances that I can run into all during that day. What are my motives? What is the motivating principle? The motivating principle that motivates me, that moves me as I come face to face with each of those countless circumstances that come to my attention day after day after day. I can be motivated by hate. Hate is a powerful motivating principle. I can be motivated by money. I can be motivated by power. I can be motivated about many things. I can be also motivated by what? And that is the motivation that I have to promise the minute I get up, the minute I open my eyes in the morning. Truthfully, believe me, the minute I open my eyes in the morning, the motivation of love. If throughout the day, if throughout this present day, anything, whatever, any action, whatever, any circumstance, whatever, that I may be confronted with this day, no matter, persons, places, or things, if what I do, if my reaction to that person, or to that place, or to that thing, is not motivated by love, then whatever I do is waste. Now please, again and again, I remind you when I use the word love, because you know, the He-Men look upon that word as being effeminate, as being weird, as being unmanly. Can anyone question the manhood of Jesus Christ Himself alone? And then question that which motivated him. If love does not motivate me in what I do, then what I do is lost. The gospel today is clear enough, and practically all of us, I exclude nobody, have our devotions, we have our prayers, we have our works during the day. I'm confining this only to devotions and prayers. I'm not speaking of the work that you have to do. We all have to work. We all have to go get up in the morning. We all have to go earn the bread that we eat by the sweat of our brow. We know that. That's taken for granted. We understand that. But all of these devotions, If they're not taken in the way intended by Almighty God, then, my beloved people, hear me well, it would be better for us to go and enjoy a good movie. Don't be shocked by that. Don't be shocked by that. Our Lord said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. But by this, he's not telling us not to say, Lord, Lord. We must say, Lord, Lord. However, by the fact that we are using that term, by the fact that we are saying our prayers, by the fact that we're making the Fridays, the Saturdays, the Thursdays, the this, the that, or the other, the fact that we do anything, if that Lord, Lord does not come from my interior heart, from the very bottom of my heart, then let's go look at the movie. That's how serious it is, that's how important it is, and that's how often we fool ourselves. And we go into that place where we keep our devotions, our prayer books, our missals, our this or that or the other, and we pick up our missal, we pick up our prayer books, and we pick up our holy cards, and we read all of those wonderful, beautiful prayers, and it's just like putting on beautiful clothes. Oh, how wonderful this fur coat feels. I feel so comfortable. It's so lovely. I love to touch it. It makes me feel so good. My beloved people, what emptiness, what complete, total, and absolute emptiness. How often have you heard me say or ask the question, why do you come here? And I bring that question to its conclusion because, as I said, I'm talking to me. Why am I here, right now, speaking to you? What motivates me? I could be out on the beach, I could be out swimming, I could be out boating, I could be out doing 1,000 different things, pleasant indeed to be done. But why am I here? Why do I choose this in preference to that? Why? And so as I go to look at the prayer books that I pick up, and the holy cards that I pick up, and the times that I walk into that door and open it and come in here, that's what I have to examine. Our young men, and I speak for all of us, our young monks, our young nuns, you know, we say our office in Latin, do we not? Do you for one minute think that our young monks, or even our old monks, know what they are reading? Do you think for one second that we are Latin scholars, and therefore we pick up a book, I pick up the Latin, I pick up the missal, and I read straight through the Latin, and that is That is not my language. And so our young monks sometimes are tempted to ask the question, and sometimes they go beyond their temptations, and they vocalize their questions, sometimes rather stoutly. Why do you make us come to this church and pray in a language we simply do not understand? We have the foggiest notion of what we are saying. Is that not a waste of time completely? Of course, what they would like very much for me to say is that it is a waste of time. The very fact, my beloved people, that these young men and young ladies, young women, the fact that I, park that door, whether it's the front door or the back door, and come in here and sit down and speak in an unknown tongue, gives unbelievable praise to God. And outside of that, what else is there for me to do? Did you hear that? What else is there for me to do? My one purpose in this life has to be to give praise to Him, to honor Him. And it is because I love Him that I love Him intensely, far from what it should be, believe me. Don't misunderstand me when I speak. Take me at my at face value. Don't do me the injustice. I come in here, and it is the love that I have that brings me here and sits me down and makes me do what I would rather not do, because it gives praise and honor and glory and love to God. If it does not come from that, let's go look at the movie. I mean that. And it has to be your faith. It has to be what I believe in. I believe that this is the case. And because I believe intensely, I know that it is the case. And so I come in here in the morning time, just out of bed. Do you think that we enjoy coming here? Are you crazy? And we come in here and we pick up a book and we start reading in an unknown tongue. And it weren't for the fact that I realized from the pits of my heart that that's what is giving pleasure to him who made me, then I will go crazy myself. And when you come in here, no, you're not reading in an unknown tongue, but you have your books and your cards and your this and your that and the other. When you come in here, you have to come in here for all the right reasons. And the fact that I come in here in the drowsiness of the morning and do this, that, and the other as required, and I walk up to the altar and say my mass, do you think that I float on a cloud as I approach that altar? Indeed not. I put step by step, and it hurts, because Jesus Christ himself put step by step. As he carried his cross to the hole which was destined for it. And my interior life has to correspond as much as it is humanly possible for me . It has to correspond with his. And when he looked up and out while he was hanging on that cross and cried out aloud, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. My beloved people, as you hang on your cross, if you do not cry out, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It doesn't matter how many times you say, Lord, Lord, trash it. It means nothing. Lord, forgive them. You do not know of what spirit you are. And when I say, Lord, Lord, it means that I have to put my interior self in conformity with his interior self in everything I do. I must investigate every word I say. How many times do we take somebody, anybody at all? How many times do we take that somebody and tear that somebody apart by our holy, prayerful, beautiful tongues? The tongue is the only wedged instrument that grows sharper by constant use. And in the name of Lord, Lord, because I believe Lord, Lord, and in that name I take this person or that person or the other person and tear them apart with the sweetness that flows from my sweet heart. The minute you say, Lord, Lord, my beloved people, the minute I say, Lord, Lord, I take upon me an obligation that is second to none. And until I can come to that full understanding of that, I had better not hope for too much. It all rests with me. God came here to save me. Jesus Christ allowed himself to be crucified on the cross. Jesus Christ said, Lord, my Father, forgive them. Yes, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But that presupposes, my beloved people, it presupposes that what is inside of my heart is worthy of forgiveness. That what is inside of my heart seeks forgiveness. That what is inside of my heart works for forgiveness. And that I don't go lollygagging around through life enjoying fun and frolic and everything, entertainment, making money, making power, making this, making that, all that. On the one side, on the other side, I say, Lord, Lord, forgive me. That doesn't make sense. Does it? That doesn't make sense at all. My beloved people, yes, we all, you especially, you have to go about your work. That's obvious. You have to earn your living. That's obvious. You have to earn your bread. That's obvious. Earning your living, if you know how to earn your living, and if you live according to what you know, what I know, what we all know we're supposed to be doing, earning my living will not interfere, whatever, with the salvation of my soul. Our blessed Lord himself had to earn his living, did he not? Our blessed Lord himself, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God Almighty himself, Creator, had to bring a piece of furniture, a chair, a desk, a stool, anything, to the lady down the street and hand her the stool or the chair that he had made. And after he had given her this thing, he, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God Almighty himself, had to hold out his hand and beg for payment. If we knew Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ really and truly was, you would be up here preaching, not me. And so I could go on. I tell the angels to help me. Sometimes they don't know when to quit. Don't blame me, blame the angels. My beloved people, It's as serious as that, and I have to quit, of course. I don't mean to be carping, but we're living in an age when hell is a popping. It's popping every place. And it pops also, even with the best of my intentions, it's popping in my own heart all day long. And I have to fight hell all day long. Not with the old go away, you're all right. No, sir. I have to fight hell with the force that is stronger than all the walking armies that have ever walked the face of this earth. I have to fight hell with that kind of strength. And the minute I think that I am safe, the minute I can think that I can run to my devotion and pick up my book out of wherever it is and think that that book is going to save me, that's when the armies of hell will say, all right, let's go to somebody else. We've got him. Let's not waste time on him. He's one of us. I love you. And this is what I pray for, that we come here for all of the reasons that proper faith motivates us to. That is the salvation of my soul. That comes before everything. Everything, everything, everything. And if I am hypocritical about it, if I put on a show about it, if I do anything about it, remember what I said some weeks ago? You know where that red light is shining right now over there in the back of the church? That's where you go. And that's where you tell the man on the other side of that little screen, I am a hypocrite. Forgive me. It is only when we face Jesus Christ, who sees our inmost thoughts and soul and being, that's who we are facing. And when we say these things, we are telling him, not the man on the other side of the screen, because he's a man just like we are. But we're telling Jesus, we're telling God Almighty. We think we are deceiving him. We think we are fooling him as we walk out and go to our eternal damnation by walking past this place here or that place there or the other place there, and we have to walk in simply because some little voice inside of me said, go in and take a sweet little look at that beautiful little picture on the wall. It's not going to hurt you. What can a picture do for you? What can an apple do for you? May Almighty God bless us, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And may this blessing be with us forever and ever. Amen.